Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and we have so much to be grateful on this Thanksgiving of 2024. And let's listen to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir expressing, I think, what we all feel today on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Tragedies are commonplace, all kinds of diseases, but the loss of being
the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, one of my favorites. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that this Thanksgiving we have something to look forward to, that we can be basking in your love, understanding that you have given us a new chance as a country, even when we didn't deserve it. Father, thank you. Thank you. Our hearts are overfilled with thank you. Well, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Yes, I am filled with Thanksgiving. I bet you are too. And I'm going to take you today through a couple of things. We're going to do some music, but it's not going to be quite what you expect. We're going to take you to different places in some music. Not a lot of music, just some. We're going to talk to one of my favorite people in the whole world, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who is the pastor emeritus of Moody Bible Institute, about just how we should regard the events that have just happened. How should we think about them? How should we think about the fact that President Trump was not assassinated, that he won overwhelmingly, that there was no recount, and all the gnarling that happens up with presidential elections and has for such a long time? And that we feel, we have this sense that that there's a new beginning, that this oppression, really, that we've been facing and sensing and feeling, and really it's just a touch of oppression. We've not really felt oppression like oppression can be. And we thank you for putting a pause on that and interjecting yourself in our lives and in our country. And so we're thankful to God for that. But now what? What does that mean? What did God mean by that? What was God's purpose, if indeed he was responsible? What's his purpose? How shall we do what we shall do next? And I'm going to talk about that today also. But first, let me remind you that abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year in 2023, despite the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Tragically, this total is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death combined. And sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk now. And that's why the need for preborn. Preborn reaches the moms to show them their babies inside the womb via these ultrasounds. They reach them not only to save the life of the baby, but also save the heart and sometimes the life of the mother herself. If you would like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. You know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, Truth Social. You can find us on YouTube also. Sometimes we do things on camera. You can go to AFR.net and listen to the podcast. That is Home Base American Family Radio. You can go to SandyRios.com and find it, or you can go to any podcast platform. Well, all right, so I'm going to start this next segment. You're going to hear, I'm going to surprise Dr. Lutzer with a song that will mean a lot to him. And so actually more to him than I even knew. And so just be prepared after this little introduction of the show to hear that song, and also just a great conversation with Dr. Erwin Lutzer on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Thank you.
That is the beautiful sound of the great hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. It's a German hymn written by Martin Rinkhart and the music by Felix Mendelssohn. And it was being performed in Westminster Abbey with the royal family. And I played that especially for our next guest. This is our Thanksgiving show, and I've asked my dear friend, who's a dear friend to many people and a blessing to millions, and that's Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who is the pastor emeritus of the Moody Church. He served there for 36 years. He's an award-winning author of so many books, they don't even number them here, including his latest, well, the book before this one, We Will Not Be Silenced, and a current book called The Eclipse of God. And Dr. Lutzer, that was a gift to you because you are, after all, Deutsch. You are what? You're a Deutschman, aren't you?
Yes, my parents were Germans. Now, they were raised in the Ukraine, so they were Germans in the Ukraine, suffered horribly during World War One, but came to Canada independently, met in a church. My father walked my mother home, asked whether he could marry her. She said she'd think about it. Within 3 weeks, they were married, and they lived together for 77 years. But Sandy, we can't skip over the song that you just had sung.
No, I didn't want to skip.
Now thank we all our God, because do you know that Martin Rinkhart, whom you referred to, was living during the plague and during some civil war, and he buried, and I'm doing this from memory because I didn't know you were going to use him, but I refer to him in one of my books. He, as a pastor, buried some 50,000 people, I believe. Sometimes he had funerals for 20 people at one time. This was during the time of plague. It was always also during the time of war. And think that in the midst of such incredible devastation, he would write a song of praise to God. It just takes my breath away. Who of us would have done that in those circumstances?
It seems that that's when God inspires the most powerful songs, Dr. Lutzer. I didn't know that. I want to just read the first verse, given all you just said. He wrote, Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. So there's a lot more to it, but that's really amazing, Dr. Lutzer. I just kind of thought maybe you might have grown up hearing that hymn, because I remember you used to call your mother and speak in German to her. So you are, you know, that's really a part of your heritage deeply.
Yes. Now, my parents spoke German in the home. They read to us from the German Bible, but we answered in English. And just to show the influence of Martin Luther while I'm on the subject, they read to us from the German Bible every single morning. If we missed once a year, that would be something that I don't even remember. But one day I looked into their Bible, and you open the flyleaf, and it says Martin Luther's translation. Now, of course, it was updated, just like the King James has been updated. But you see the impact of the Word of God. When Luther said, I fought the devil with ink, he didn't mean that he threw an inkwell at the devil. He meant that he fought the devil through the translation of the Bible into a German that people could understand. So just that little bit of history.
That's beautiful. And of course, out of that, the ink that he fought with came the Reformation, came the Protestant movement, came our understanding of God's Word. You know, it's just amazing, the whole story of that. Well, Dr. Lutzer, I wanted to make that point. You are German, but you also were raised in Canada, and you loved Canada. You went to Bible college there, then you came to Chicago, and I had the privilege of being, many years later, in Moody Church and watching you become, at least watching you go through the transformation of becoming an American citizen. Why did you do that? That can't have been easy for you, really.
Well, you know, my wife was an American. She, of course, was raised in Dallas. And so our children were born here. So it made sense for me to become an American. And I have to say that I'm proud to be an American. America has many faults, and it always will have many faults. And all of its ideals will never be achieved, but at least it has some ideals. And so when it comes to the whole issue, you know, of Christian nationalism, which we probably will or will not get into, the simple fact is that patriotism to America is something that we should cherish, even despite the fact that there were, you know, huge factions in the recent election. I would like to think that all American citizens can take rejoice in the fact that we still live in a country where we have a democracy, where we can vote, where we can share the gospel, and that is not true around the world. Sometimes in the midst of all of these back and forth discussions, you hear Christians say, oh, politics isn't important. Really? As Frank Turek likes to point out, have you ever noticed that there is no First Baptist Church of North Korea? Of course politics is very important, but it's not all important. And no matter what happened in this election, which we can talk about, the great surprise in the minds of many people, America has spiritual and moral issues that can only be addressed by the church through prayer, through witnessing, through representing Christ. So we need to remember that. We have a very important role to play in the future of this country and in the lives of people who need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, I want to talk about all those things if we can. You are in a particularly unique position to discuss Christian nationalism, I think. You know, your book, Hitler's Cross, and all of your trips to Germany, which I've had the privilege of going with you on the Reformation tours, you are an expert, really, on Nazi Germany. And so I do want to know just a little bit more, certainly, about your view of this whole term, Christian nationalism, because they were trying to compare President Trump to Hitler, and Americans who love their country to German Nazi nationalism. Explain to people why that might not be the case.
Well, if people ask, are you a Christian nationalist, what you have to do is to ask them this question, what do you mean by that? There's a form of Christian nationalism, of course, which we saw in Germany, which was absolutely horrible, where there was no gospel. The gospel was politics. So if that's what you're talking about, that is a horrible form of Christian nationalism, where the symbols of Christianity were used in Hitler's great rallies. And that's, of course, what Bonhoeffer spoke against. So on the one hand, you have that. And in a lecture that I gave five different relationships between the cross and the flag and how those two interact. But let me get to the end of the story. And that is that we must always have the cross above the flag representing the state. And so we must always be redemptive. But here's the thing. I even believe in the separation of church and state. But you can't separate the state from morality. Every law that is passed has a certain basis in morality. So you can't just simply say, okay, because of the separation of church and state, the church should have no, should not speak to moral issues. Everything today is moral issues, not just the issue of abortion, important though that is, but the role of parents above their children, having some say in what is being taught them. That's a political issue today. The whole issue of human rights is a political issue, but it's also a very biblical issue. So what we need to do is to recognize, even when it comes to the wiping out of women, so to speak, and the confusion of genders, these are biblical issues to which the church needs to respond. But the bottom line is that when you are patriotic to America, you honor the flag, and you believe in human rights given by God, that is not Christian nationalism the way in which it's always been historically understood. And yet, of course, today in a world in which there are so many loud voices, what you have is people, as you mentioned, being called Christian nationalists just because they honor the flag and they are proud to be Americans. So all that needs to be separated out.
I think also, you know, it's part of our history. You know, we're very, I'll consider myself certainly front and center on that list. I love the history of our country. It is a unique, and I want to ask you this. People always, in this culture and during this time with our kids being raised the way they are, they always hold our past in disdain. Those were, you know, white, wealthy landholders who had slaves. And, of course, that's not even true of most of them. I mean, maybe Jefferson and Washington, and there's stories about that. But it's a hierarchy. It's white privilege. Our past, our story isn't unique. Who do we think we are? And as a person who did not start out as an American, a proud Canadian, and they have their own story, what do you think about the uniqueness of our story? And is it worth repeating and keeping? Or is it fiction?
Oh, well, you've asked actually a number of questions in your
question. I know.
But I want to say this, that of course slavery is a blot on American history. But we need to understand it in context. Today, as you and I are having this discussion, there are 50 million slaves in the world, especially throughout the Middle East and countries of Africa. So Saul Alinsky, you know, the Marxist who applied Marxism to racial issues, he used to tell his students, don't ever compare America with other countries, because if you do, America will look good. Always criticize America on the basis of its ideals. And because it hasn't reached its ideals, there's always plenty of criticism. So what you have is this, that the thing about America, and I'm not an expert in American history, but the more I learn about how the Congress works and the three branches of government and the Senate having representatives, two reps from each state, I marvel at the wisdom of our founders who put in place this republic in such a way that it can self-correct itself and that ultimately through voting the people are in charge and it can indeed self-correct. It is a marvel. And the ideals that we are all created equal and endowed with our Creator with certain inalienable rights, I mean, certainly that was not a part of our history, but it was an ideal to which we worked. And Martin Luther King, you know, in his civil rights movement, would appeal to that as the basis of reaching beyond where we were to something better. At least we had an ideal in mind, even when it wasn't achieved. So many other countries have no such ideal. So it goes on generation to generation, slavery and the whole bit. So we need to study American history, very important. We need to study its dark periods as well as its brighter periods. But what we have to do is to recognize that we do have a unique history. Now, one other comment. If you're going along a street and you leave a building behind, you can turn back and you can see that building. But if you turn a corner and now you go at a right angle from the building, you no longer see from where you came. And what the left wants to do in this country is to help us to forget the good part of our history, the ideals of our history, and concentrate only on its failures. And of course, that's where we're at. So what we need when we study history is the balance that we should have. Let's look at the failures honestly, but let's also look at the good part, the remarkably good part, of the founding of this country.
You know, Dinesh D'Souza wrote a book several years ago. It's when I first met him. This is a long time ago. I interviewed him in person, and this book really was very inspiring to me. And it was What's So Great About America. And one of the points he makes, Dr. Lutzer, is it's not that America had slavery. It did. But it's that it got rid of slavery. It outlawed slavery. That's the part they leave out. But I want to ask you one quick question. This would be a whole big discussion, but I just, before we pivot, because I want to talk about what's just happened in our country that you've been watching just like I've been watching. It's pretty breathtaking. And I want to talk to you about that in a second. But what inspired you? You know, for the, me, as your, you know, I don't want to, we are friends, but you've inspired me for years before I was ever a friend to you. And I, what inspired you to preach not just the gospel, meaning the four books, but all the books of the Bible, teaching, deep teaching and understanding, and combining that with events, with politics, with news? That's what I've always loved about your preaching, Dr. Lutzer, and I think it makes it more powerful. But what was your inspiration for that?
Well, my view as a pastor is this. Of course, we preach the gospel. We are always redemptive. We lead with that. But at the same time, a pastor should not ignore the realities, what I call the controlling realities of the culture. We should not be ignoring that. We should be speaking to those events. I think, for example, when a number of years ago, when the whole issue was, and I'm forgetting the name even now, you know, I am getting old, but the issue regarding whether or not Jesus married Mary Magdalene, the Da Vinci Code. I spoke to that at Moody Church. I preached a couple of messages exposing its errors, and many people, parents, came to me with deep gratitude, saying, you know, my kids are in university, and they come home, and they talk about the Da Vinci Code, and that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, and we don't have time to analyze and to read all this and to understand what is happening. It's moments like that that the pastor should be helping people. I think that churches, for example, should have seminars for parents to help them to understand, what do you say to your child when he comes home from school and says, I think I'm trans? How do you handle it? So, of course, we lead with the gospel, and the gospel is the ultimate answer to these issues. But at the same time, we cannot ignore these controlling realities. We can't ignore the kind of sexuality that is being taught to our children in schools. I say to parents with a broken heart, you can't take your lambs and throw them to wolves, however you resolve that. And so the Bible has principles and teaching that is applicable. And what we need to do is to recognize what's happening around us and to speak to it, but always redemptively.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Lutzer, you know, for the last at least for almost 4 years, we've been going through a very, meaning the United States, and I made the point that you love this country and you chose to be an American because I think that's important in this discussion. And the last 4 years have been tumultuous. Even before we've had riots in the streets, we've had so much criminality, we've had an invasion at our southern border, and we're reaping the benefits of that early on. Inflation is off the charts. Regular people are having so much trouble with groceries. Medical care is not what it should be. I see workmen come to our house, waitresses, and they're like limping, or they've got a serious problem, and I'll ask them, and they'll tell me what they have, and that they can't go to the doctor because they can't afford it. I could go on and on. We have our children being barraged with transgenderism, with sexuality. Our next generation is just being perverted by social media and all of the influences on them. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know all of this. So we just had an earthquake of an election. Now, this is Thanksgiving 2024. And for the first time for me in nearly 4 years, I feel hopeful. I think people, we don't see the evidence of what just happened politically. Donald Trump with this incredible, shocking election, his assassination attempt twice, all these unusual alliances, Americans of all stripes coming out of the woodwork to vote and deliver votes to President Trump. So my question for you is this the work of God, do you think? Is this the work of God in our country?
Yes, of course it's the work of God. But the other thing that we have to understand is God is sovereign. Even if the person that we didn't vote for were to get in, we need to always remember the sovereignty of God. And certainly we saw the sovereignty of God in this election. One of the things that I rejoice in during this Thanksgiving season is that when Isaiah went into the temple, you remember he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What's going on there? Uzziah was a relatively good king. He reigned, I think, for 52 years. And now the throne of Israel was empty. But what God wanted to show the prophet was this. The throne in Israel is empty, but the throne in heaven is well occupied. And I have no doubt that what we saw in this past election was really a surprise to many of us. Many of us prayed that either party would win substantially so that we wouldn't have ongoing disputes regarding who won and who lost and the counting of ballots. And all that just was washed away in the midst of this. So yes, God is involved in our political process. I want to caution people to not be too optimistic because you never know. Things could go south very quickly considering the state of the world. But at the same time, I can understand the rejoicing, even though I personally have never endorsed a political candidate. I can understand that it is going to be a new day in America. But what we can't do is let up on praying, seeking God, sharing the gospel, and just asking God to be gracious to us and to give us the grace that we certainly don't deserve.
Well, I think what I think of, Dr. Lutzer, is what happened after 9/11. I feel personally that that was a huge wake-up call for all of us. I don't know who doesn't think that. And, the churches were filled up. What happened in Moody Church like right after that? Did you see the place packed in downtown Chicago?
Yes, for a time. And then obviously, it dropped off, which is human nature. In other words, at the time, God did this. You're talking about 9/11. God spared us, and now we need God.
Yeah,
Like Israel. Oh, we're in difficulty. We need God. But then people forgot about it, and afterwards things began to slack off, which is exactly what always happened to Israel. Israel, in desperation, called to God. God, we need you. God shows up, and then the next generation forgets what God did and goes back to its old ways. So whatever happens in our future, we always need to undergird it with a sense of prayer, a sense of repentance, because we can't take anything in the future for granted. We have huge problems. We have two wars. The war in the Ukraine seems to be escalating. Because of some decisions our commanders and our administration has made. So how is that going to end? We have, of course, the war in the Middle East. How's that going to end? So at the end of the day, all of our listeners need to understand that we really desperately need God, and this is not a moment to slack off, but a moment to remember that God is sovereign, to give him praise as the sovereign ruler of the world, and then move forward on our knees.
Yes, well, and that's how I feel exactly. That's why I mentioned 9/11. I don't want us to squander this moment. I believe he answered our prayers, Dr. Luther. I'm sure you wouldn't disagree. And it was miraculous. President Trump being spared assassination bullet twice. I mean, that's amazing in itself. And just, I don't need to recount just the ways of the enormity of the victory. And it's not that, I'm with you. It's not that President Trump is some, savior. He's not. But God is using an imperfect man as he uses us who are imperfect to do something incredible. I believe he's heard the prayers of his people. I honestly didn't think we deserved it. I didn't think God would, not that, I'm not talking about his people. We are his people. God loves us and he's going to usher us into his kingdom at some point. I'm not thinking about the body of Christ that is faithful. I'm thinking about this country and the depths to which we have descended morally. I thought, how can he? How can he give us another chance? And yet he has. And I don't want us to squander it. And now the us I'm talking about is as Bonhoeffer would say, the confessing church. Those of us who really believe in the power of God. Now is the time to renew in the midst of our thanksgiving to him. It's to renew our commitment to not only be faithful, seek holiness, but to spread the word. This is the time to talk to neighbors and friends with more intensity, I think. Well, Dr. Lutzer, you know, you just wrote this book, The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It. And you write this, I think it's beautiful. You say, just as the moon obscures the sun's light during an eclipse, today's radical secularism has obscured the light of God. But God's light still shines, and he is calling us to shine his light in the growing darkness. And that's kind of what we were talking about, time for revival. Tell us about, this book is excellent, and just give people a taste of what you're talking about, how we can probably, from as Christians, approach the darkness that we're still in. We're not out of it. We just have hope that we're going to come out of it. So how should we be thinking about this?
You know, when I stop to think of it, Sandy, Americans don't mind saying that they believe in God, just as long as they can choose the God in whom they believe. And oftentimes the God is their own consciousness. And so the thrust of the book is that we might get back to the biblical God. This God is not the God of popular culture. I mentioned, for example, how darkness came to Europe, how Nietzsche proclaimed the death of God because of people like Karl Marx and Darwin, and later on Freud, and how their ideas have infiltrated the whole idea of America's secularism and what it is that we're up against. The other thing that we have to realize is, in the minds of many, God is more tolerant than he used to be. In the Old Testament, you were stoned. If you committed adultery, you have the killing of the Canaanites and so forth. So one of the longest chapters is on the Old Testament and handling those passages. And then one of the longest chapters is entitled, Is God More Tolerant Than He Used to Be? And I point out that God has not changed one bit, and that we must recognize that God is a God of love, but he's also a God of terror. He is a consuming fire. And that's why it is important for us to get back to the biblical God. And even as we're talking about our political context here in America, it is not just simply enough that we pray. What we have to do is to get back to the God of Scripture and pray to him to see both his love and his judgments. And unless we have a good biblical conception of God, oftentimes our prayers are meaningless. You know, we're talking about the book, The Eclipse of God. Al Mohler wrote the intro, and I'm saying this from memory, but one of the most important lines that he wrote was this. He said, this book is a direct hit, because at the end of the day, all of our problems, political and otherwise, are really theological problems, namely the issue of who God is, how he should be approached, and the way we should view him.
I love it. And this book, we you and I have to have a different conversation where we can actually talk about more of the content. But the concept is really appropriate today on this Thanksgiving of 2024 because we are filled with hope and gratitude. I'm confident. I bet you did the same thing I did, Dr. Lutzer, when that result of that election, not because we believe Trump is the savior. That's the thing that people attribute to us that is just so false. But it is he is an avenue. He's someone that God is using. And we saw the direction our country was taking under other leadership. So we are grateful to God. We're grateful that he spared his life. We're grateful for the results of that election because now the foundation has been laid for a renewing of our faith, for a rediscovery of who God really is, as you describe in this book, of doing away with all the nonsense that we have allowed, the furries, the transgenderism, the pronouns, all of the stupid, I'm sorry, silly things that we have embraced that have made us just seem crazy. We have hope now that that can change, and that's okay, right? We can be grateful and hopeful?
We can be grateful and hopeful, but at the same time, as I emphasize in the book, behind all this, there are huge spiritual powers that are at work. And what we need to do is to recognize that there are problems that cannot be fought politically. They have to be fought spiritually. And, of course, the two are connected. I understand that. But we can't lose our focus on our desperate need for God and the gospel.
Yes, amen to that. Well, the book is called The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It, the author, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. And so with that, Dr. Lutzer, I want to wish you and your family, Rebecca and the girls and the kids, all the grandkids, a very happy Thanksgiving. I'm grateful just for this moment. I'm grateful for all God has done, and I'm grateful for hope. I'm really grateful that God has allowed us to have a reasonable hope that maybe we can turn this country around, not only politically, but spiritually. So happy Thanksgiving, Dr. Lutzer. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, and God bless. And remember, blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Thanks so much, Sandy. And may you also, you and Bruce, have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Thank you. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
A recent Danish study shows that a year after aborting, women exhibited a 50% higher likelihood of first-time psychiatric treatments and an 87% higher likelihood of personality and behavior disorders. Well, I want you to know that preborn treats the whole woman, body, mind, and soul. It's not just the baby that they save. They really do tend to the mother and also, of course, the baby growing inside of her. If you're looking for a great investment for your year-end write-offs, choose preborn. Donating is simple. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings.
I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios, of course, back with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Dr. Lutzer and I covered a fair amount of ground and hopefully gave all of us something to think about. The thing that's on my mind is I heard Rafael Cruz, who's Ted Cruz's father, speak a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning. And he basically said that in this country, of course, he's a Cuban-American now. He came over after terrible oppression by Fidel Castro, escaped to this country. His story is gripping. But now he's an American with a love for this country like Dr. Lutzer is. But Rafael said, in our history, and he's right, American history, we've had at least two great awakenings, spiritual awakenings. One came before the Revolutionary War, and one came before the Civil War. And as Rafael was speaking about it, he said, so what we had was we had a spiritual awakening and our revolution, and then a political revolution. And same thing in both wars, a political realignment. And he said, now we've just had a bit of an earthquake politically. A revolution of sorts, a change, a huge shift. And now we have to have a spiritual awakening. And I think he's right. And the thing of it is, I actually think we might be seeing that. I want to also add that our founding fathers, you've heard me say this before, but it needs to be repeated. George Washington, John Adams, many of them, not just them, said that our system of government will only succeed if we're dealing with a people, a population, whose this particular form of government rests on their morality and religion. They use the term religion. Because it said, and they say, it's no good for any other kind of people. It's no good. Too much freedom. And if people can self-govern, if they can have a conscience, if they believe in God and they self-govern, then it works. Then you can enjoy those freedoms. But not if they're not based on people's morality and religion. And we can see that we don't have that. We have hardly any of that anymore. And that's the missing part. And as Dr. Lutzer was alluding, if we don't seriously now reach out to people and deepen our own personal walk with Christ, our holiness, strengthen our families, and evangelize all of that to the world around us, this will be a disaster. This will be a disaster. I want to say, I actually think there is, I just sense there is an awakening. And it's, I mean, it doesn't, it, I'll tell you why. I just was listening to a long conversation by the founder of that app, Halo. It's usually attributed, they say it's a Roman Catholic app. Mark Wahlberg is behind it. The guy, Jonathan, who played Jesus in The Chosen, is advertising it. It's become the, like, almost, I believe, the number one app. And there's a reason. I know the reason now. I heard this founder of this young guy of no fame, talk about how it started. And his journey was so compelling and so moving, and God's intervention, and how he found his way from really basically agnosticism, having been raised Catholic, to agnosticism and even atheism, having this renewal of his faith. And the miraculous stories that people have told about listening or, you know, using this app and having that kind of time, because it's all about Jesus. It's not about some other God. It's very clear. And their minds and hearts are being changed. And now that they reach so many millions of people, you can bet that's part. That's just part of what God has used to awaken Americans that the church is not reaching. I find that a lot of these miraculous reawakenings I can't even actually think of any that are happening in the church. I'm not saying they aren't, but the things I'm observing are not happening in the church. I think about, we talked to Pastor Carter Conlon a couple of months ago or a month ago. He's the pastor emeritus. Well, he's actually still affiliated with Times Square Church in right downtown New York City. And Carter was telling us about working on college, Ivy League campuses in Yale, Cornell, of the revival going on there. It was a miraculous. If you didn't hear that episode, be sure and go back and listen to it. It's Carter Conlon. Amazing things happening to these young intellectuals falling on their faces in repentance. It's amazing. And I think about a person like Elon Musk, who has had in the past some very strange beliefs. He's done some great good in the world, but he's not exactly a Sunday school teacher. But you see him now morphing toward Christian principles. He's had kind of a reawakening. I'm not saying he's a Christian. Don't misunderstand me. I just feel him gravitating. Vivek Ramaswamy, who is a Muslim. But Vivek is, there are some commonalities in moral issues with Muslims, but I find Vivek talking, I'm not saying he's a Christian. Don't misunderstand me. I just see that God is at work kind of expressing God's truth is everywhere, and all truth is God's truth. So if it comes out of the mouth of a Muslim or a person who doesn't believe, it's still God's truth. And yet the truth they're expressing are aligned with God's ways. It's pretty amazing, and they are actually talking about faith. I just saw that they've actually put Planned Parenthood on notice, that it's not going to be business as usual when the administration, Trump's administration, starts. Think about that. So God is at work in our country, but we can't stop with that. It can't be just a notion, an idea, a conversation, alluding to God, or alluding to Jesus. It has to be a revolutionary taking over of the hearts of people, like God through Jesus took over the heart and the motivation of that young man who founded the app Hallow. Man, that story. And God, that's what he does. He transforms our lives. And now we just have to, evangelize. We got to tell people. This is the time. This is the time to be bold. If we want this political awakening to come to a reality, if we want change in our children's lives, we want prosperity. God always blesses people who love him and serve him faithfully with prosperity. Now that's where a lot of people believe that, you know, you do the right thing so you can get rich, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that God blesses his people, and sometimes that spoils us, and then we turn away. So that's how that happens sometimes. But right now, this is a moment, and so we need to go deep in his word and deep with our families and deep with our neighbors and export the truth. Well, this is Thanksgiving Day, and as we close, I'm not going to talk about all the other stuff. I just want to play a song that I love. It's called I Speak Jesus. Charity Gayle is the writer of this song. Many of you have heard it, but some of you might not have, and it is. On this Thanksgiving Day, when our hearts are filled with gratitude to God, this is part of what needs to come out of us. I speak Jesus. This will be the closing of the show, so here we go. Charity Gayle, I Speak Jesus.
Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, oh.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets.
On this Thanksgiving Day of 2024, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7, and I speak Jesus.